What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Overdunk episode 22. This is the competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. My name is Zoinks. I am joined by some familiar faces, just one brand new one, but we are here today to talk about all things EOS Cup for North America. Biggest tournament on the horizon we've seen so far, biggest prize pool, new format, tons to talk about. We're going to be breaking down brackets, bold predictions, all that good stuff. Before we go any further, we got to make sure that everybody is introduced to my three guests here today that is going to break down all the action with me. First off, let's do a very familiar face of the channel. Dupe Snacks, please introduce yourself. And unmute first.
There you go. Kirk Dupe Snacks Dubay, glad to be here. I'm glad I did all that cool gesture stuff before we get started. But I'm excited to talk about it. The EOS Cup is huge, a lot of money on the line. Yeah. And really is going to be, I think, the first big step to propel this game forward into its path to a competitive esport. So I believe.
Wow.
I'm a believer.
Hopium's very strong. Sneaky, why don't you go up next?
Guys, I'm Sneaky Seal. I'm not on a team, but I fill for a lot of the top teams. You might have seen me in tournaments or subs with Nemesis, Full Sender, Black Hand. And I stream the game on Twitch, so that's what I'm here for. Discuss.
Number one mercenary, Sneaky Seal. I'm always terrified. You see him in a ranked ladder, you see him in a ranked queue, just run. Egg Noob, how about you?
What's up, guys? I'm Egg Noob. I'm the defender for IXGT. Just started streaming recently. You might know me for some of my wacky catchphrases I say. I'm the Lorax. Massive. local weirdo.
Yes. Every Unite community needs one local weirdo. We have quite a few, but I think Egnub, you do slot into that one really, really well. Guys, let's talk about EOS Cup. So thank you so much for joining me. We got a lot to talk about this tournament. Like I said, we have the group stages to look at, which is going to be a brand new element to any kind of Unite tournament that we have had so far. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe, I guess, Twitch Rivals, maybe the only other tournament that really had a group stage to it. But, becoming a real esport, we have group stages all setting up for a big tournament. Not to mention, there is prize money on the line. Dupe Snacks, you were mentioning that before. Pretty hefty prize pool. I think if everything's distributed, each player's taken home a couple grand for the grand winners of the tournament. So, yep. And then distribution goes down from there. So quite a bit. Is Sneaky, Egnoob, I'm curious though. Egnoob, you are going to be playing in this tournament. Sneaky, you of course are just, you've been a part of the scene forever since the start of the game too. So you know these teams incoming. Tell me about the general vibes of the players and everything into this tournament. Is this feel like a new, different case for this tournament? Are there, excitement in the air, or is this just yet another step on the way to the real excitement of Worlds later on this year?
You can start, Egnoob, if you want.
Yeah, sure. I personally am very excited for this tournament. It's a good change to Pokemon Unite, getting some real prize money in here. And I'm pretty sure every team's taking it the same way. Like, I am excited to play in group stage.
Cool.
I cannot wait.
Yeah, I think for a lot of these teams, this is a big resume, thing to put on their resume to get some tier one orgs maybe into the scene.
Yeah.
And on top of it, this isn't something crazy new. The old G4 tournament, the first one for us, did.
That's right. That's right. Had the two groups, right?
Robin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had a round robin before. It was a best of one though for each game. This is the good thing about this round robin is that each is a match instead of just one. Mm-hmm. There's a best of three for each team, so you cannot lose by 1 point and go.
Lose by one point, lose by a tie. Yeah, that tournament had everything. A lot of people's favorite tournaments so far out of the entire scene, for sure. So, yeah, not completely new. These group stages are going to be familiar, but yeah, the best of three look is going to be, just better overall. We get to see, very competitive matches, of course, and then hopefully the best teams making it all the way through. So let's stop talking about what's to come. Let's take a look at the actual group stages. So I brought this up on our last episode also, so I'm just going to bring up the same tweet because it rules. Thanks, Mean Apples, for this graphic they have. I'm throwing it up on stream right now. This is just the NA group stages in a nice, clean overlay format they put out. We're looking at Group A. with Blossom, Foreign Famous, Game and Gladiators, and TOS. Group B is Nemesis, Low Expectations, Full Send, Actual Trash. Group C, LEGO, IX Gaming, IXGT, and Overcap. And then Group D is going to be Black Hand, Tessenda, Millennium, and Sandra. So, guys, the obviously a stacked tournament, maybe the most stacked top 16 we've seen yet of any tournament. I don't think there's that many teams like sneaking in per se into this top 16, but there's a lot to talk about. I think to get the elephant out of the room, start off, Group A is a group of death. We have some insane names there. Eggnoob, how does it feel to not be in Group A? Is that thankful?
I love my group.
Yeah?
I'm very happy to be in my group. I like it here. That's okay. All I can say.
Gotcha. Any more elaboration on what you find so comfy about Group C?
Yeah, I don't have both the monthly final winners in my group. That's
yes.
So great.
that is a nice addition.
They've got Gaming Gladiators, winners of February, and Blossom, winners of March, man.
Mm-hmm. Low Expectations to thank for that Group A, I think, for a little bit of the wrench thrown in a mixing qualifier run. But, all right, Sneaky, Dupes next. Talk to me about these, how these groups rounded out. What are you most excited for? And is it Group A, or is there something else that really pops off the page to you when you look at these group stages?
Dupe, if you want to start, you can definitely...
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to touch on Group A real quick. Zoinx and I were actually messaging, and once Gaming Gladiators fell out of the top four, all I could think of in my mind is that's going to shatter someone's world in the AOS Cup, and it's going to absolutely blow up one of these groups. And of course, Group A happens to be that one. Of course, you can't go without talking about Group C, seeing IX Gaming and IXGT both in the same bracket, which is just amazing to me. I think that in and of itself is a great storyline, which of course you have in your prime. We'll talk about later. But a big standout to Group D. I don't want to call it free because this is stacked across the board here.
Sure.
But Black Hand is the most consistent team and as far as the Pokemon Unite Championship series so far. They're only team two for NA to register top four finishes in both months. And I think their performances in those, you know, past 2.5 months outshine collectively everything else that Group D has going on between the other teams. So I think a lot of people would be shocked if Black Hand didn't come out of that group. But I think there's some great potential for some good upsets in Group D specifically.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Sneaky, how about you? What are the, you know, big storylines you already see just by looking at this group of names?
Big storylines are, I think everybody's going to be watching Group A.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to jump straight into Group A, I can.
Yeah, do it. But, go ahead.
So Group A, right off the bat, Gaming Gladiators have the most fans. They turn on the stream, they have, you know, a few hundred viewers per person, right?
Yeah.
And everyone's watching to see what they're going to do. They did just lose to Foreign Famous in G4, if I'm correct. Pretty sure Foreign Famous did two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Team Blossom just won March Finals. So that is not that's not an easy group by any means. It's probably the hardest group possible out of the seedings selected, just in general.
Sure.
Somehow TOS was the 16th seed, and they got this spot over some other teams.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't have enough championship points, and they've switched some players, I believe.
Yes,
But that one you said earlier could be a very big, a lot of ties in that group, for sure. I'm personally expecting Gaming Gladiators to come up and win the whole thing, but it could easily be a 2-1 across top three teams or whatever three teams or multiple 2-1s.
It could be, yeah.
That's definitely the most. That's the one to watch out for sure.
Absolutely. And okay, let's talk about that actually. So just before we turned on the stream and everything, I was talking to you guys about it because I've been diving deep into the rule book a little bit, been pushing my glasses up as far as I can on my nose, nerding out to the fullest extent when it comes to these rules. And I was trying to look into the tiebreakers. We have four teams in a group, which technically means we could have three-way tie scenarios in any one of these groups. One team would have to go 0-3. The rest of the teams would have to go 1-2. Now, the tiebreaker rules, as we like list them out and we take a look, after that, it is total win percentage based between each team. However, that could still tie if we see the 1-2 scenarios in the three-way tie. Following that, the tie after that is a head-to-head win percentage. However, if the first, second, and third seed all beat each other in that circle, so 1-2, 2-3, 3-1, that also evens out, and we have yet another format of tie. And if in each game it goes either 2-0 or 2-1 in terms of the best of three gameplay, and we have another setting for a perfect tie, everything lines up to where we have a complete even tie, and the tiebreaker rules, the final one, is that it goes by initial seed is what moves on.
Oh, interesting.
Which is wild to me, one, that that's how the rules pan out. So if, in this scenario, if we're taking a look at our group of death, if we look at Group A, we have a three-way tie between Blossom, Foreign Famous, and Gaming Gladiators. Unfortunately, in my hypothetical, TOS goes 0-3. But if this does happen, that means that Blossom and Foreign Famous will move on just by having initial seed, which is wild to think about. Yes, it is an outside chance. However, it's not that outside of a chance. Like, right. It's not that niche to where, like, oh, it'll never happen. Guys, about my little breakdown there, just a quick initial, like, reactions or opinion piece. Do you think that we need some other kind of tiebreak going into this tournament? Again, this is all hypothetical. However, it is something slightly concerning to me that initial seed is our final tiebreaker. What do you guys think about that? Anybody can shout.
Yeah, I'll jump in real quick. I think my gut tells me, first off, that for something this large, you actually want to take in consideration the collection, the collective of performance since the start of this series,
sure. Yeah.
Which to me maybe leans me closer to something along the lines of team championship points. Mm-hmm. And I know we've gone through Roster Mania, but that kind of pays into the dividends of, you know, that naturally boosts some teams, takes away from some others.
Sure.
But that's maybe where I would go, as opposed to, you know, you did good in February, you kind of get to roll that through. Hmm. Or you did good in March, you get to necessarily roll that through. I don't particularly think that's a great solution, but I think, sure, taking a wider scope lens on it is not a bad thing.
It's better than just least last tournament. Yeah. Okay.
Correct.
I see, yep, what you're saying. Gotcha. Yep. Sneaky, any opinions on how the tiebreaker rules currently lay out?
Other games like League will do like speed of game tiebreakers, yeah, or how fast you win, but there's only 10 minutes in this one.
Right.
The best scenario just to do a repeat, like best
that,
ones.
That 100% is best scenario for sure.
But then even then, it's, you can't activate, like, you can't show like whoever wins the most scores and people play score comp and just score 1,000 points or something.
Right. You don't want to take away a strategy from a team because it sets them up improperly for a tiebreak scenario. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You definitely don't want to hinder that either. Yeah. It's definitely a tough spot. Eggnoop, any, you know, you're a player in this situation. Is this concerning? Would you like to see a different angle? I mean, these are the rules for the next tournament. They're what you're going to play with. But if we were going forward in the future, is there any kind of adaptations you'd want to make to these rulings?
Oh, it's definitely concerning.
Okay.
Because, like, I could easily see even my group having a three-way tie.
Sure.
I could easily see that.
Okay. Yeah.
And when it's going like that, like, I would either want, like Sneaky said, just best of ones against every single team, just seeing,
okay,
like, who gets the, you know, winning advantage there and see who moves on.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than how it is personally, because it's like, you know, we go even against each other, and then, you know, because you're performing as well as these other teams, but you performed worse in the past, you're out.
Yeah. And in a competitive, like, in the modern era of esports where we have patches before every tournament, which another thing we have to talk about upcoming, some teams are great in a patch, other teams are not. And so, like, historic performance sometimes gets a little faulty. That's what we don't want, of course. Like, we want, like, teams to find success. Adaptation is a skill, blah, blah, blah. I've heard all the arguments. But either way, I do think these could be adapted in the future. This is what we're going into in this tournament, though. It's something to keep in the back of your mind while watching games. I might cheer for a super tie. Who knows? But in these situations, you know, this is what we're dealing with in the future. I definitely could see some adaptation trying to improve this tournament rule set. But let's jump into it. Any other points that you guys really wanted to bring up before we start doing some predictions? One thing, we're probably looking at a patch coming up in 2 days. We got like 8 hours of maintenance on the game. Mm-hmm. I know draft was rumored to be being added. I I really don't believe it's coming in this patch, but I know it's been rumored as an esports asset to being added to the game at some point in the future. But guys, do you think that a patch upcoming this week is going to be a huge shakeup for teams? Yes or no? We don't have any information on the patch, but any opinions on that at all? Sneaky, let's start with you.
I think for the top five teams, these players are way too good to just get surprised by a patch.
For
they
sure.
All... in my head, I mean, maybe Nemesis plays a lot of the same characters. If maybe there's something like an incredible greedent nerf and he's like, I don't know, never allowed to, something stupid, you know,
yeah.
He's not allowed to play the game anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That could hurt them. But most of the teams should be able to adapt.
Yeah.
Problem is they've been practicing and they watched Japan and South Korea played in this exact meta and maybe like learned a thing or two, but then the patch is going to switch all that up. So we'll,
right.
A little funky on the Pokemon Company's fault, or whoever, Timmy, whoever's working on this, to do that. Maybe just wait, I don't know, a week.
Yeah. Balance and tournament lineups are always going to be strange. I think especially when the esports just starting, their arm of game development is probably going to overtake that of, how the competitive lineup gets scheduled and things like that. I think the original question just kind of, why did the tournaments get moved in the first place? But that's then and there. Eggnoob, as a player coming up for a tournament with a patch looming, you do have a decent amount of time, but it's not like you have a month to prep for something like this. Is that worrisome? Is that something exciting? Are you desperately wanting a new patch? Does IXGT hate the meta that we're in?
I kind of like this meta right now. I think there's a lot of viable options. At least historically, there have been, you know, the Dragonite meta where it's like pick Dragonite, pick this same bot lane over and over again.
Sure.
It was like one change. It was like Pikachu or Venusaur.
Yes.
Everything else was the same.
Right.
But I love this patch personally because there's so much flexibility. You see teams like TTB bringing up new Pokemon, different moves on regular staple Pokemon as well. You know, obviously Nemesis bringing that entire, you know, patented Nemesis comp out.
Yes,
true. I think there's a lot of winning strategies for Pokemon Unite right now, and I just want them to keep it like this.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'd be shocked if that went away with one patch. I mean, just more variants being added. I'm sure we're going to see more techs and variants. The worry, I think, yeah, the main concern is, like you mentioned, if we find ourselves in another Dragonite situation. Like, how much of a must pick? I mean, the biggest must pick that we're in right now is what, Hoopa? Like, I really do feel like if you're not playing Hoopa, you're not playing to win. But that's
I think 15 out of 16 teams have a Lucario player too. Just to say that it is, I'm pretty sure it is only Nemesis running the Greedent at the moment. Everyone else can play other things, of course. But
sure.
And the other thing I was going to say is that metas take a little to develop. It looks like the people started playing Blastoise probably 2-3 weeks after its bug fix or water spout changes, whatever.
That's true.
So. It can take teams, they cannot figure out the meta in between patch from, you know, game time.
That's a really good point, Sneaky. Yeah. Dupes next
have also developed across tournaments. Sorry.
Oh, no, continue. Oh,
yeah. They develop across tournaments as well, and like people will in the middle of the tournament, maybe somebody pulls out some mod in group stages and everyone learns it that night or something and then plays it the next day.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we have a lot of teams in this tournament that are kind of famous for doing so. I mean, Blossom is the biggest one that stands out to me. Like, they are a hard adaptation team. They will look at what you were trying to do and specifically pick Pokemon to counter against that. You know, they're confident enough in their talent pool to be able to trust that, yeah, we'll just be good at these Pokemon. It's not like we need to do that much prep with this team composition, but we know that our composition can, you know, out mechanic you in that situation. So that one team to watch out for sure. Dupesnax, as a commentator and just, you know, someone who watches these kind of games, for something like this, I mean, as a viewer, but one that also gets to yell about the games you're viewing, is a balance patch upcoming something that excites you? Is it something concerning? Like, worried we're not going to get the best quality of games? Where are you feeling with that?
Sure. I think you can't be afraid of moving forward, right? So I'm going to assume the patch is going to bring positive changes and just, you know, keep that in the forefront and be positive. But as the perennial spectator, if you will, I personally love the concept of patches. I love wrenches being thrown into plants. I don't want them to break the machine, but I want them to help teams adjust so we can find the air quotes Nemesis comp and that, you know, bringing Blastoise back to the forefront into that jungle area. And maybe a top lane switch is necessary, but there needs to be an impetus for that. And I think this is going to give, as Sneaky said, just enough time to cause some people to have to go back to the drawing board, figure stuff out, and is really going to pay the team off and maybe give an opportunity to some of these teams that we aren't talking as much about to say, hey, we figured it out. Let's break the doors off this thing like Nemesis did and you know, give them a chance to make a run. So, again, as the perennial spectator, I think this bodes well. I think it's nice to see what can come on the horizon, and I'm expecting some fun changes. Not, again, not earth-shattering, break the game, force everybody into picking the same Pokemon changes, but good adaptations that these teams will have to make. So I'm excited about it.
All right. Cool. Sounds good. Well, let's start jumping into some actual predictions then. Let's take a look at these groups. Again, I'll bring them back up on screen. Let's start picking who we think is making it out of what groups. And then I've made kind of a hypothetical bracket up because, Sneaky, you were talking to me before. Japan was seeded randomly in their bracket after the group stages. So it's kind of a toss-up.
Yeah, IX and IXGT could get first and second in the groups and play each other right afterwards in the quarterfinals and
run it back.
There's nothing you can do about it. We were trying to figure it out. We wanted to seed, obviously, so people could prepare the teams I work with to look at who they should be prepping to play against in, like, you know, a normal average outcome scenario where the teams you expect to get first. And we were just shocked that group D's 1 and 2 played each other in quarterfinals. So there's nothing that doesn't make any sense, you know, but it could be worse. Is my positive outlook on that?
It could be worse. We'll fix it eventually, right? So, all right, let's start looking at these predictions, guys. So, let's go backwards. Why not? Let's take a look at Group D. We were talking about this one. This is the group that we have potentially labeled the freest group. I don't know if that is, like, I don't want to use that word too lightly, but we have Black Hand, who are a clear favorite, followed by Tsenda, Millennium, and Sandras. Guys, out of this group, who are we sending through? My personal pick, of course, is going to be Black Hand. If anyone doesn't think they're going to make it, speak now, forever hold your peace. But who do we think is going to be the other seed making it out of Group D?
I guess I can take this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, hit it.
Yeah. So I think Tsenda's definitely favored to be in the second slot, but I can easily see Sandra.
Okay.
Like Sandra's Cheeky Children being a dark horse.
Okay.
And being able to win the best of three against Millennium and Tsenda.
Okay.
And making it out over them. I think it's a lot closer than people think between Tsenda and Sandra's.
Okay. Yeah. What do you think specifically they could pull out to beat them in a best of three? Like, what kind of aspect of their game do you think can take down Tsenda?
They're like kind of a weird comp team, if that makes sense. Like they run the Greedent, they run the Gardevoir, they run the
They're Guardy players. Okay.
And not a lot of people are playing Gardevoir right now. So it's like you gotta really prep for it.
Okay. Well, Egnoob, if you had to put money on it though, are they beating Tsenda or is your vote going for Tsenda to get out of this group?
It'd probably be Black Hand Tsenda.
Okay. Sounds good. Sneaky, how about you?
If Black Hand drops a single match, it'd be pretty disappointing on their end. I think you've seen the meme. You've seen the Attack on Titan meme where all of Black Hand are eating the other members of this group as Titans, yes, and they're what are they called? The people who got the scouts. He's just eating all the scouts. They're Titans in this group. And then Sandra's Cheeky Children could do it as well. Tsenda's got Red Love in the jungle. He is a new jungle player.
Or Freak in the jungle on Greedent sometimes, if you've seen that comp, but it does exist.
Yeah, no, I have not seen that comp, but yeah, they're notorious for some wacky attacker picks, maybe.
Blastoise attacker,
which I think they're running Muscle at the time, and now Blastoise have figured out, like, more optimal builds, so it didn't, but... I mean, even Millennium, who have also made top 16 more than most of these teams, I believe Millennium is, seed 9 or 10 off of seeding, because they've made the top 16 I think twice now, or this is their third time.
I think it's their third time.
Their third time.
Yeah. Millennium's made top 16 all three.
It's better than a few teams here.
Mm-hmm.
And all the top 16. So it could surprise us. I think anyone could take that second spot.
Yeah, I like Millennium a lot as a squad. I think their brightest star definitely going to be Uno on that jungle pick. I think he's a really, really solid player, especially if he gets to play his Cinder. he's an exceptional Cinder player. So if this meta allows for it, they could be an outside force. But Sneaky, you know, when it really comes down to a pressure situation, who are your two picks to go out of Group D?
I guess Blackhand and Sandra's Cheeky Children, my initial guess.
Gotcha.
Sandra's Cheeks, you know, Greedent could pull out some stuff. I think Greedent can definitely stomp some not top five teams. You know, it can come in and steal all of your objectives, steal your dreads, back cap at 100 and cause chaos in the last 2 minutes. Sandra can do it, I believe.
Okay.
Big fan of his name.
All right, faith in the Sandras. Okay, Dupes next. How about you? You're looking at this group. Who do you think are the two seeds making it out of it?
Yeah, I'm not going to rattle the cage too much. Of course, Blackhand going to be the easy push in that group. I do like how Sneaky mentioned the consistency that both Millennium and Sandra's Cheeky Children have presented here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're being a little undersold just because of the names on Tessenda and, of course, the performance of Blackhand. But I do think the door is wide open for one of these teams to punch their ticket into the top eight here. And for my personal pick, I'm going to go with Millennium. I'm going to put some faith there. I love Uno's play, and I'm going to round out, make sure we have a pick in every direction here.
Yeah.
But Blackhand and Millennium, I love their consistency. They are a fun team to watch, and I think they have been – I think Tessenda, Millennium, and Sandra's Cheeky Children have been offered an amazing opportunity here when you look at the other groups to really say, okay, you know, we've been given a gift, let's not, you know, spoil this, and let's beat the brakes off some kids, and I'm gonna put it on Millennium to do that. So Blackhand and Millennium for me.
Okay. Well, I guess it brings out to me a little bit of we have a vote now, yes, for every other team we're going in. I am going to be just kind of a spoil sport, I think. My picks are going to be Blackhand and Tessenda. I understand, I know Millennium and Sandra's Cheeky Children are both very, like we said, I don't think Sandra's has made top 16 every time, but Millennium has. I do like that squad. They have definitely been one of my favorite lesser-known teams for quite some time now.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think Tessenda is on a little bit of a hot streak right now. They made it through the winner's side of the qualifiers, which doesn't mean that much. However, I do like the weird strats they bring, and I don't know if these lesser-known teams like Sandra's and Millennium will be able to handle kind of these well-practiced but weird wonky strats. So I'm going to go with those two. Let's jump to Group C now, though. So Group C, Eggnoob, you are a part of this group, so your pick is going to be a little biased, sure, because you're paid by the other team as well, so that maybe means you have both of your seeds picked out. But let's look at them. Lago, a top four from last March, for the March finals, right? I'm getting that mouth right? Yes, okay, good. A top four placement, obviously real solid squad. So guys, let's send this back the other way. Deuce next, who are your two picks coming out of Group C?
Yeah, it's hard for me to choose against the IX duo here. One, I like the storyline. I think the storyline is fun. Mm-hmm. I think I personally, having gotten to cast at the G4, IXGT, and IX Gaming, and just became a huge mark for IXGT from top to bottom. What's up, Eggnoob? I'm gonna have to pick them. I know LEGO did come off that top four performance. That can't be understated. I think they're a strong team. They certainly deserve their number one spot here in Group C. They've earned it. But I'm gonna go with the IX duo for storyline, just prime storyline power right there.
All right.
Who's number one and who's number two, Dube?
Oh, good.
I'm gonna put IXGT first. Here's why. Because I jokingly said it on the cast, like, they might be your younger sibling, but you know, your younger sibling that's 6'10", 300 pounds sitting on your chest can still pack a wallop. So I'm gonna go IXGT number one. Let's go. And a little tip to Eggnoob. Thanks for being here.
Sure.
Appreciate being here.
Okay. Well, we already know where Eggnoob is going. Sneaky, how about you?
I did want to chime in and say, so Sandra did play on 1000 Dreams in February, so he has made every top 16 qualifier on
Team. Oh, okay, so Sandra specifically.
Okay.
Got it.
Yeah, but I got double IX personally. From what I understand, LEGO hasn't been playing that much as a team.
Gotcha.
Many players have told me that they haven't seen them in like a few weeks. If anyone can argue with me, I think I've heard that from a few people. We don't know what they're playing. Maybe they're hyperbolic time chambering. Maybe they're doing a training arc right now in
sure.
MMA and they went somewhere. The interesting thing about this group is Overcap has also made, I believe they made top 16 in February as well.
Top 16 in February for sure. Yeah. I don't know so if they did in March.
They didn't in March, but Overcap is a skill check for both all three of these teams. Are you able to beat, maybe not a great score comp, but it is a score comp. Are you able to beat this? And I could see them taking a set off of any team and maybe honestly being the deciding factor between the two INXs if they...
Oh, whichever team loses to Overcap. Yeah, I love that.
We'll see how it goes. I think I'm unsure on the two INXs. I love Pikadif. I think OG is probably one of the best Lucarios in the game. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure he's the best because it's up in the air, but if IXGT can shut down OG, then maybe they win. But if they don't, then OG is level 15 and Zap, and E-Speed's your entire life away. That man comes down level 9, and I'm a little Pikachu, and he kills me every single time, and I don't like that.
Yeah, okay. The horror stories are ever-present for Sneaky. Yeah. He's living in fear of OG. Okay. Yeah. Interesting. So you're saying IX over GT, then?
Yeah, I think Pikadif would yell at me if I didn't pick him. Sorry, man.
Fair enough. Eggnoob, I know that you are picking both IX squads to make it through here, but I also know that you practice constantly with the other IX squad. Are you picking your own team, or are you saying the Homer squad has currently got the edge in this battle? This feels like a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyways.
You know, it might be biasness, but if we look at historically, like Doobsnack said in the G4 tournament, when the little brothers beaten your... your stuff in, you know, you gotta pick them, man.
All right.
They're definitely not weak by any means, though. I definitely think it's gonna be both IXs. You know, we're gonna have a slight edge, but hard fought, best of three.
Cool. They didn't go to losers, man, and for some reason you did.
I don't know.
Well, you know, let's see how it goes. Obviously, I think, but I like a lot of people have, both of you. Coming out, I think that might be the most agreed upon group, is that those two teams are going to be the two that come out.
Yeah, definitely. It's not a free group, but those ones I think is like the most clear cut, least exciting group. Sorry, Eggnoob, but Group C seems like the most clear cut. I have Rex in the chat saying that IXGT and Lego are his picks. So, I mean, shout out to the Lego squad. I mean, we are considering a top four team. They beat Game & Gladiator, so.
Hash is mad good. Rex is right.
Hash is really good, but like I've been hearing that they haven't been playing S5, so I don't know.
Right. Yeah. No, that's a concern. That's about. A very valid concern.
I've been hearing the same thing, to be honest.
So. All right. Okay. I am also going to pick GT slightly in favor over the main squad of IX. I honestly just like those players. I like how they play. If I was personally to give a toss up between the two, you know, I'm picking GT in that situation. Let's jump on over to Group B. We have Nemesis, Low Expectations, Full Send, and Actual Trash. A really, really solid group. Like, all of these picks could definitely make it through. I mean, Actual Trash is a little bit more of the sleeper pick, but shout outs to Smushy and company. Those guys are hype. So pumped that those guys made it into a top 16. Most positive force in the entire community. We love you, Smushy. But all four of these teams are very, very good. Low Expectations, brand new team, but did take down Gaming Gladiators in a seeding match. Mm-hmm. So take that what you will. Was a hype match. Doobsnacks and I did not know it was a seeding match when we were casting it on our stream, so we were quite hyped about it. But still, let's start out with this. Eggnoob, let's swing back to you for your first picks. Group B, I think this is the biggest toss-up group, though. Who do you have coming out of this one?
I completely agree, and I think this might actually get affected by the patch, because we said, they are very... You know, they have their regular comp. I think sometimes they play, instead of Greninja, I think they play Talonflame.
Sure.
But like, it's like five. But what would they touch?
Are you talking about Nemesis?
Yeah.
Oh, Nemesis can...
Yeah, yeah, Nemesis.
I work really close with Nemesis. They are all amazing players, and they can play different things.
I'm just saying, that's what they've been practicing.
Sure. Well, I don't want to leak strands, but they're playing other things besides Frog. They're playing, you know, other things at Attacker. They are trying other things in their way... They're still a top five team, even if they have to pick different things.
Sure.
In my opinion. Some people might not agree with that, but...
No, I think you're right, Sneaky, but, I mean, the fact remains, if there is a patch incoming, they are probably the most likely to be affected by it. That being said, they are a versatile team. I'm just saying historically, from what we've seen in tournament results, if you're more in touch, though, that's why we have you on here, to be telling me that we're wrong. So, but still, Nemesis being affected... Ignoob, though, I have a question. Like, the team comp that they've played in that last tournament, what would the patch touch that would affect their composition? Greedent, maybe? But, like, what other Pokemon would get touched in a patch, like, especially nerfed? Like, are any of those Pokemon exceptionally... I feel like they would benefit. Like, they're going to buff Tree or something, right? Can't be that strong.
Yeah, I mean... Like I said, I think it's definitely a toss-up on what could happen on the patch, right? I'm just saying it is a possibility. I'm not...
Okay.
Like, again, even if the patch does, like, mess them up, I'm still putting them first in the group.
Okay, yeah, all right, sweet. So, as much as our concern has been stated, yeah, we are just
like
them first.
That was just, like, a warning label, right? Like, sure. I'm still picking them number one. And, okay. You know, honestly... I like low expectations. You know, obviously my old teammate from Gengar's Goons is on there.
Yeah.
Ray, Big Uzi. You know, we scrimmed against them a bunch. Cool. I think they're definitely a solid squad. That would probably be my second pick in that group.
Okay, low expectations. To beat out Full Send. Okay, an actual trash. All right, Sneaky, let's jump on over to you. Group B, biggest toss-up group. You're already jumping in to defend Nemesis. So where are you thinking about?
I have to defend, you know, some one-trick comments that, you know...
That is true.
A little mean. So Nemesis does play around Hoopa and Greedent very well. And those two things are the highest win rate characters in the game and could be touched next patch. They do really benefit with back caps and causing chaos and... While Rex is 1v5 on a tree, Greedent scoring 100, and it doesn't matter because Hoopa comes in and stuns your whole team. And as Aznable has shown, while not like the most popular support player, I think he's probably one of the best Hoopas, probably top three.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
He's incredible on this character. He can really stun, and a lot of that is from maybe some shot calling, but he's also very mechanically good on it.
Yep. There's a lot of good Hoopa players in this group, though. Like, Junkie, Snow Points, like, these are big support names, for sure. Like, this is a dangerous Hoopa group.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would probably say Nemesis is... I'll have them at first.
Okay.
Second is going to be really tough. So, you did say something about actual trash. Smushy Cows is Mamoswine engage at level 3 is, like, absolutely disgusting. I don't know if you've seen all the clips of him.
I have seen a lot of clips of him. There are many clips.
Like, he just sent me one recently where he's killing like very good players. He's like flash tackling, icicle crashing, and all three of his teammates dunk because they killed all three in the first like 10 seconds of the laning phase.
I love that.
I think his Mamoswine could definitely surprise some teams. I don't know how far we go in the tournament, but he could definitely surprise some teams and take a set off of some of them.
Okay.
And then the thing about Full Sin is I don't think Full Sin has been playing too much recently.
Mm-hmm.
They're all very good players. I think Celestial's probably one of the best mechanical players in the game.
Yep.
He's going to hit level 9. He's one of like probably three junglers I play with that I just love to play with on ladder because they always come down level 9 no matter what. It doesn't matter what happens.
It's true. They find a way to be level 9.
Yeah, he's going to always be level 9, and he's going to come down. He's going to carry that team. I think Bloodline's amazing. I think Snow Points is amazing. Mm-hmm. They did just get Bulby on their roster, so this is a new thing about Full Send is that Bulby is their Lucario.
Mm-hmm.
And Otter is now their attacker. Otter is a fantastic attacker.
It's kind of a return to attacker for him, too. He played a lot of attacker early on.
He played a lot of... Lot of attacker. They were looking to grab Overlord before the world started, so they were gonna have Overlord as their top laner, and Otter would play attacker anyway. Fantastic mechanical team. I would say them and Blackhand are probably the top mechanical players in my eyes. And they can play multiple different mons. They can just pick whatever they want and play them. And I'm gonna put them at second, but I don't count out Big Uzi. Or actual trash. Big Uzi can carry. He's going to be 15 almost every single game, whether he's going to maybe starve his teammates that way, but he's going to hit level 15. He could carry a Zap team fight if he plays really well.
Sure.
Or Junkie can run through and hoop a portal his entire team and flip Zapdos and win. either scenario, but I'll say anyone can take second.
Okay. Anyone can take second. Gun to head. Do you have a pick?
What was that?
I said
Full Send. Sorry.
Oh,
Full
sorry, sorry. Okay,
well,
that's my
I'll
bad.
Go with.
Okay.
And,
Nemesis Full Send. Okay. We have Ignoob on the low expectations pick for that second one. Of course, Nemesis also being included. Yeah, Faz, feel free to throw hot takes in the chat as much as you can. Dupesnacks, how about you? Talk to me about Group B.
Yep. This is incredibly difficult. I mean, just the fun that all these teams actually are to watch. and the fact that they all kind of deserve to be in the light as the, you know, the teams that we see in like Group A, for example, you know, that get a lot of shine week in and week out. These teams have kind of just been steadily doing it. I love Nemesis. They warm my heart. They're kind of one of my favorite teams to watch. Artryu is one of my favorite players to watch, and it's not particularly close. I think the way they approach the game is absolutely amazing. I think it's exactly the way Greedon was intended to be played, and I think it's a gut check to everybody. Kind of like Sneaky was mentioning, you know, with Overcap and Group C, you know, it's just, it's a barometer check.
Sure.
And I don't know if there's a better or more stronger set bar than Artryu on Greedon for your team to have to overcome. The rest of these teams, I am at complete loss.
All right, well, let's take it from chat a little bit. Faz has been talking about how they think Full Send is not making it through, haven't scrimmed in a long time. Bulby's an insane grinder, but Nemesis and Low Expectations have been just putting in more work for this tournament than the other teams have. And I mean, I have to agree, Full Send, as we talked about, Sneaky, you were mentioning some of the most mechanically skilled players we have, especially in this group. I completely agree. But yeah, I honestly think that Nemesis has been putting in the work. I think the biggest question is going to be Low Expectations versus Full Send. That is actually one of the most exciting games to me in my mind, is those two teams playing, because it's just going to be, like you mentioned, Dupes and X, a heat check. Let's see where these teams are at. And I really do think that's going to determine who's making it through this group. However, my picks, I think, are going to be Nemesis, and I'm gonna pick Low Expectations as my other team. I think Full Send not putting in as much work recently is going to hurt them a lot. And I think it's going to be Nemesis and Low Expectations moving through the 1 and 2 seeds.
I say something. It's the pot calling the kettle black, though, with the Lost Ark team saying Full Send isn't playing enough. it's a little tough. I think they have some time to come in. It's a little early. I don't know why the guys who barely played before March are saying, oh man, that team's going to lose because they didn't play.
But right, and then they won the whole thing. Yeah.
So it's possible. It's certainly possible.
That's true. Toss it.
Yeah. We can go on to Group A if you'd like.
Yeah, sounds good. Sneaky Seal, why don't you start us off on the Group of Death, Group A?
One of the biggest things about this group is I feel really bad for a couple of these teams. Foreign Famous and TOS really rolled incredibly low. Imagine getting first in your group. imagine winning winner's side in qualifiers just to play Gaming Gladiators and Blossom.
Oof.
That's the equivalent of drawing them in, like, round of 64 in a tournament and just having to deal with it.
Crazy.
And also for Sanji, this is his first time making it to Sanji and Muk are making it to top 16 here, they got short end of the stick. My biggest thing about this is, before I say my predictions, is that TOS would have probably gotten second in a couple other groups here. They had a good chance to get second, but I think they're going to go 0-3. I think Blossom and Gaming Gladiators, they can maybe take a set off of Foreign Famous, but Foreign Famous showed that they can also beat Gaming Gladiators here in a tournament like Wiko at G4, and Blossom loads in and has some of the best players in the game as well. I'm going to say maybe... my brain always says Gaming Gladiators first because of their tournament wins, their total tournament wins, some of the... They have like 30 plus. It's way ahead of anyone else in the entire game.
Do you think recent results would put them into the second out of this group, though?
I would. Maybe people would say that, but my brain still says Gaming Gladiators first, and because I think Toon has
studied the blade
a bunch of different. To say the blade, he's picked up every jungler. He's picked up every jungler, and he's they're not playing the Cinderace. Hoopa Eldegoss, but the problem is, even when they lose, you look at Zapdos, almost all their carries are level 15. They're still ahead. They just have to maybe finish those small things out, or maybe reset their death timers at 3 minutes. I don't know what else they could do.
Not a bad plan. Into three.
Toon just can't die for 40 seconds and they will probably win this entire tournament again. We shall see. And then I'll say Blossom at second, but I think it could be either way. Either team shows up on the day.
I love that.
Can definitely first in that group.
Yeah, no, that's really, I think you laid it out perfectly. Dupes next. How about you? Group of Death of Group A. Is it a clear Blossom and Foreign Famous through, or do you think there's a bit more to this group?
I mean, there's certainly a bit more to the group, right? All we've said is how muddy this group actually is. And when you're looking at Terms of Scolded as being, you know, the supposed kind of bottom of the tier, I mean, you've got some quality teams in here. I'm with Sneaky. It's really hard to kind of switch the gears in my brain to say Gaming Gladiators first. I've said it so many times in my casting career that, you know, it's almost like burned in there. But one thing that you have to say is these last 6 weeks proved that the Gaming Gladiators, they've got holes in their armor for sure, and there's ways to win and there's ways to beat them. That being said, Gaming Gladiators and Blossom, just like Sneaky, that's where I'm at. And like you said, I think Foreign Famous and Team TOS literally just, they both got the short end of the stick to go see, you know, who's going to try and catch the shark with a small net. You know what I mean? They're going to have to go wade in the waters and try and figure it out. And best of luck to them. I would like to see nothing more than this group implode on itself, get that super hyper tie and go into a bunch of runoff games. Like, I would personally love that. You know, don't take that away from me. But that if you're like, you've kind of been saying gun to my head, it's really tough to sled against Gaming Gladiators and Blossom.
Okay, gotcha. And just to put on the pressure even more, who's first coming out of that group?
It's literally doesn't matter, honestly.
Well, it
it
does for
doesn't
my
matter.
bracket, but whatever. We'll get to that later, I guess. Eggnoob, let's jump over to you. Blossom, Foreign Famous, Gaming Gladiators, TOS. Really, it seems like the story is coming down to, are Blossom and Game or Gaming Gladiators capable of dropping games to Foreign Famous or TOS?
Honestly, with you, this group is so hard.
I
This group
know.
is honestly so hard. I don't know how much history you know about me and like teams I've been on, but like historically, like we usually like beat Blossom.
Yeah, you guys
Like
have been kind of the Blossom
we've
kryptonite.
historically like beat Blossom in tournaments, right? Like we beat them in February, we beat them in G4, we beat them in some other tourney, I forget. But there's definitely holes in Blossom and Gaming Gladiators in recent, and I honestly think it's going to be a three-way tie.
Wow, okay, you're calling the three-way tie. That's a
Because
good
I think,
segue.
what? Go ahead.
I was gonna say if you wanted to talk about the tiebreaker, we'll finish your thoughts. Sorry.
I could easily see Foreign Famous taking like a BO3 off of Gaming Gladiators or Blossom, even. Again, it would be expected that Blossom and Gaming Gladiators go through just because they, the one both the previous months, but I could easily see Foreign Famous taking a BO3 off one of them and enacting the tiebreaker rules, obviously.
Okay. All right. So, like you were saying, Sneaky, a segue into the tiebreaker rules. We mentioned them a little bit at the top of show, but basically, if every game has the same score line, one of these teams goes 0-3 and the rest go 1-2, we're in a three-way tie scenario where the initial seeds are what push the teams on, which would be Blossom and Foreign Famous making the two teams of Group A into the bracket. Sneaky, how likely do you think something like that is?
I from what I was trying, I'm trying to remember what you said earlier. So they all have to, for it to be a three-way tie, they'd all have to go in their match, not just 2-1 overall, but in their match as well.
In them, they would all have to be either 2-0 or 2-1 in terms of the
2-1.
best of three score line. They would have to match, though. There couldn't be 1-2-0 in their mix there.
So that it's, I think it's pretty highly unlikely in my opinion because I think Blossom and Gaming Gladiators, even if they go 2-1 against somebody, they're not gonna go. They're gonna 2-0 somebody, and it's gonna be. I don't think every team is going to 2-0 each other or 2-1 each other because I think we've got two really good teams, and if they are going to dominate somebody, they're gonna do it 2-0 and get first in the group that way, right? Even if they do lose a set to somebody. But that'd make for a really interesting storyline. Also, unfortunately for Gaming Gladiators, they don't make it through in that scenario if everyone perfectly ties because that's what happens, I guess, if you lose in qualifiers and don't get the top, 5 through 8 seed.
Unfortunate. Just don't lose, forehead. I think is the game plan. But or so if I'm looking at this group, making my picks overall, again, I really thought it came up to before, if Blossom or Gaming Gladiators, which one of them are more likely to drop a game to the aforementioned Foreign Famous or TOS? And in my mind, I really just don't see either of those teams happening, especially with how much both of these teams have been taking it seriously. Like, Blossom has really, like, you know, put on their try-hard pants recently. They have been grinding out scrims. Of course, Gaming Gladiators, even more so. Not to say Foreign Famous and TOS aren't, but I'm just really, really confident in those two historically strong teams right now. They're going to be my pick. I know we've talked up so much about Group of Death. It is still an exciting group to watch, but I think the results, if I have to pick them, are going to be the most, you know, basic, normal ones. I'm picking, and for my first pick, I'm 100% picking Blossom as my first group out of the first seed out of this group. I know Gaming Gladiators, if you lose to Low Expectations, a team that's what was like a week old before that tournament in bracket play, I'm sorry, I'm not giving you first seed coming out of a group. That's just how it goes. So that's gonna be my lineup. So I think we're giving A1 over to Blossom. Any other opinions on the any other opinions on this Group A? Anything we're forgetting to mention?
Good luck.
Yeah,
good luck. I think there's a chance for both Foreign Famous and TOS to, of course, do it. So we're not just outright counting them out. It's possible.
Definitely not. Yeah. No, yeah. I don't think we're doing so at all. However, if we, you know, we have to make predictions, I think.
For a bracket. Yeah, for a bracket, we're going to predict what we think.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. Well, let me bring up this little hodgepodge bracket I've been trying to make while we've been doing this. We will go through this bracket pretty snappy and quick. We talked about so many of these teams already. Not to mention, this is a very hypothetical bracket. The Japanese AOS Cup was completely seeded randomly. I tried to do what I could, made sure that a first seed out of every group was playing a second seed out of every group. So should be pretty straightforward, but let's just start at the top of the bracket. Can everybody see what I'm looking at right now, by the way?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. Guys, in my hypothetical bracket, first up, I have Blossom going up against Tsenda. Any opinions if there, is Tsenda going to get an upset win here, or is Blossom going to start off hot in a bracket?
I'll take this. Rin is going to destroy Red Love in the jungle.
Okay.
Won't even be close. It's going to be a gigantic jungle gap, level 15 each game.
All right. Not even a little bit at the beginning. Blossom moves on. Also, I feel like I'm spelling Blossom wrong on here. Am I spelling?
Double S? You got it.
You're good.
Okay. Yeah, nice. All right. We're not going to do a loser's bracket. We'll just pick one team who we think made it through the loser's bracket at the end, just for the sake of time. But okay. Let's jump into this next one. A bit more exciting of a match, but I think is a clear favorite. But Blackhand versus Low Expectations. Dupes next. Let's get your first thoughts on this matchup.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think everybody, I know Low Expectations is a new amalgamation of players that we all care for and love so much. But I'm OG Blackhand Mark for sure. Okay. Back to Ascendance days. And I don't think there's a bigger fan of excellent on the planet than old Kirk Dubay. So I got to tip the cap to Blackhand on this one.
All right. Sure. Coach,
watch out.
Yeah, Sneaky Seal is going to be coming for that.
That man taught me everything I know, all right? I'm going to meet him in London. Even if his team doesn't go, we're going to fly to London to meet Mr. X.
That's awesome. Right. I love that. That's the most wholesome. But yeah, I guess Dupes next and Sneaky Seal will have to fight over. That's a beautiful love triangle moment in London. That's that sitcom
right
itself.
As we both take a drink of our black beverages. I don't know what yours is.
Good stuff. Oh man, can't wait for the Unite Mics after party in London. Gonna be a good time. But okay, Sneaky Seal or Egg Noob, do you think that Low Expectations has a could win this one versus Blackhand in a predictions sense?
Uzi has worked really closely with Blackhand. He used to be their jungler for a month or so. He was an official sub, and he has the OG player role on their server. He knows what they're gonna be doing. He's learned the game the same way they have. Blackhand is just has been together for much longer. Mm-hmm. They did just 2-0 them in the most recent Victory Road tournament.
Sure.
It could be close. They could take a game. These are best of three, right? Everything's best of three.
Except for
Grand Final.
Grand Finals is best of five.
Yeah.
I could see a 2-1, but I think Blackhand takes it. And if they do lose, it'd be 1-2 and they make a loser's run. But I'll give it to Blackhand.
Okay, gotcha. Give it to Black Hand. Eggdube, any last thoughts on that one?
I just think Black Hand's going to beat low expectations, you know, either 2-0 or 2-1.
Okay, gotcha. Well, we'll move Black Hand along. All right, well then, I mean, my thoughts on that matchup, it would be one of the most exciting matchups. I just have such a hard time because this is a randomly made bracket. But if this is one of our first round matchups, that is a hype game. Like, low expectations versus Black Hand would be super exciting. You were mentioning, I really do think Uzi versus Chaotic in terms of a jungle battle is exciting. I love Uzi's ability to play Greninja and things like that, though. I think that could really help shut down the Duraludon style picks that I know Black Hand's been favoring, but would be an interesting matchup. But I do think Black Hand has the adaptation to beat a newer team like Low Expectations. Especially, I think Black Hand's bot lane would really be super strong in that matchup specifically. But let's jump down. Nemesis versus IX. And this is actually a pretty interesting matchup between these two. Sneaky Seal, let's start with you. Nemesis versus IX. What do you think about these two?
IX has been playing things like Blastoise, which is pretty good into Nemesis comp, not to give you strats, but it's pretty tough to kill a Blastoise that's spinning on you when you're a bird who has so little HP and defenses. It's possible to get a Shadow Sneak on it and kill it, but they know what to pick to counter the Nemesis comp. OG used to be teammates with Archeryu. They kind of know how both each other play.
Yeah, that'll be a fun top lane matchup to watch, for sure. Yeah,
they both swap top laner. It'll be tough. I think OG's Lucario is really, really good, and it could go either way, but based off of recent performances, I'm going to give it to Nemesis, but IX did top the qualifier. They did get Winterside in qualifier, and they look like a strong team coming out, so I'll just pick Nemesis, though, just to... because we're not doing losers.
Gotcha. Can we all agree? I just am interested about this. Do we think that this is IX's strongest roster yet that they put together?
Yeah, definitely.
This newest amalgamation of IX, I think, is the best look that they've put forward, and I think that may pay dividends here. So, in a matchup versus Nemesis, oh man, this is tough. My vote is also going to be in the Nemesis corner. I'm worried about how recency bias that is. This could be like a coin flip of a game. However, I think Nemesis's gameplay, especially in the later parts of the game too, like when you hit that 2 minutes section of the game, I think Nemesis actually like gets really, really solid. I trust the shot calls of Rex. I like trust the, you know, the flip ability of Yeet and Archeryu. So my vote's going to be towards Nemesis. Eggnoob, any love for the sister team? Do you think they can beat Nemesis here in this matchup?
You know, it's a tough situation.
But
I definitely could see this group going 2-1 either way.
Yeah.
Honestly. I would probably still have to give the nod to Nemesis, but okay. I could see it going 2-1 either way.
All right. Any last talk on this matchup, Deuce and X? We are putting Nemesis through, but if you...
No, I don't think I have anything to add. I'll just echo the sentiment of Eggnoob that I do think this is one particular one that can go either way. But yeah, recency bias, is that a word? Recency bias?
Yes. I thought it was a
I'll have to, tip it to Nemesis. But I mean, you look at this squad, OG Tyvasaur, LKJ, Mitsu, Junkie. I mean, nasty five pack right there.
True. All right, let's jump into the last of the first round. IXGT versus Gaming Gladiators. Eggnoob, I already know your vote, so we got to move on right past you. Dupesnax, I'll throw it right to you. Does IXGT beat Gaming Gladiators first round?
I mean, we're not doing a loser's bracket. I'm gonna have to go with Gaming Gladiators here, right. But I think that, again, that's based on a little bit of longevity, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
IXGT, newer squad, you know, they beat the brakes off the people in the first two events that we got to watch them in, which is very impressive and a lot of fun. You know, got to see more out of IXGT, right?
It's true.
So,
Eggnoob, you guys beating these guys in scrims? What's going on?
You know, we've only scrimmed them once, and we had a sub. And it was, he was playing from Barbados, so his internet kind of sucked, and he was off roll, so.
Okay, I gotcha.
You know. Interesting.
Sure, the Barbados sub, okay. Sneaky Seal, can IXGT beat Gaming Gladiators this first round? Are we seeing Gaming Gladiators move on?
So, Game Guiders probably move on, but IXGT was the original Gengar Students roster was the only team to look like they even had a chance of beating
in that
the Game Guiders the entire February tournament. So they're literally one Leaf Tornado away from being taking a single game off of Game
Guiders. Don't remind me, dude, that mashup was nuts.
I couldn't believe that. Did we cast that together, Sneaky?
I think we did. Yeah. It might have not been. You were in that term with me for a little bit, but they did just lose to, in G4 to them, right?
Sure.
So I'm gonna give it to Gaming Gladiators.
All right, gotcha. Don't worry, the same thing won't happen again, Egg Noob. It should be fine. All right, let's jump back up to the next
matchup.
Oh man, well, not for every team. Okay, Blossom versus Blackhand. Where do we think these games are gonna end up?
That series in the most recent Victor Road tournament was insane. Was super interesting.
Dude, it was such a good game.
They were counterpicking junglers every game until the finals when they just they were guessing everything and just had to hope you got the right jungle pick. Gonna give it to Blackhand, but that one could be really close. This is why you have to wait for game day. I have no idea between some of these top five teams who's actually going to win on the given day.
Do you, Sneaky, do you think that this game comes down to skill in game? Or do you think that this is such, in my opinion, this is such a mechanically even mashup game that it really is going to come down to like the brainy composition picks and like in-game calls? I really think that's what's going to come down to.
That's just essentially, if you looked at it, I'm pretty sure the last tournament went that exact same
you're right.
It was Blastoise into Talonflame or Greninja, like picking the Talonflame to counter the Greninja or the Drowdon that you were running and then going back to the Drowdon but staying on Greninja and losing. it's a few things like that, but they were very close games. It was an insanely close best of five. I'll give it to Blackhand because I'm friends with them. I gotta be honest. I don't know who's gonna win. It could be
the Homer. The Homer pick moves on. That's totally fine with me. Dupes next. How about you? Blossom versus Blackhand.
I mean, again, recency bias playing a little bit of action into this. Sure. I know both these teams are grinding so freaking hard.
They are, man. This also probably most likely a peek into our grand finals, personally. Mm-hmm. I think like this could be a preview match too. So, but we'll see.
I don't know. I'll say Blossom just to put it on one of you two to break the tie.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Two of us to break a tie. Nice. Egg Noob. Yeah. How about you? Blossom versus Blackhand.
Definitely that GG Tour game where it ended 3-2, you know, we're back and definitely just like won game five, you know, was very close.
Their triple support comp that they've been, like them and TOS have been rocking for quite some time.
I'm actually going to have to give the nod to Blossom.
Okay.
Just because I feel like this game might even, I honestly think the series might be decided on game one.
Interesting. Talk to me. Okay. Talk to me. Why you say that?
You know, I definitely think that there. You know, and you know, I might be entirely wrong, but I definitely think there are some tilters on both teams.
Sure. Yeah.
And I definitely think in a BO3, I think almost honestly, it's going to come down to who tilts the hardest in this BO3.
Okay.
And I'm going to give the slight advantage to Blossom in that regard.
Okay. Got you. I mean, they were able, like, Blossom was able to, you know, they survived a bracket reset. So that's a pretty nice mental dip for sure, as Nando's saying. Okay, I'm with you, actually. I'm gonna be sending Blossom on, which is crazy for me because I'm a big Blackhand simp a lot of the time. However, I think if this BO3, when it comes to it, Blossom early tournament to me, I think they're going to be coming off hot with a lot of confidence, and I'm worried about like Blackhand just getting in their own heads. But I mean, that is such a, you know, out there the confirmation bias, whatever you want to call it. Still though, I'm going to put the last winners, call it confirmation bias, whatever you want to. Blossom, I'm going to throw into the next round. But
I think if they meet in semis, either one comes back to a grand finals.
Probably, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's what I was just saying. Is like, I think that's a preview of our grand finals, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like what we're looking at. But let's jump to Nemesis GG, a really interesting matchup. Basically, what's interesting about it is, do we think that Nemesis can beat Game and Gladiators? In this pick, I have personally, I don't think so. I think Gaming Gladiators has been in the lab trying to tech to be, you know, I think what they've been training, if you want to call it that, to do is just be way more adaptable and, you know, clean up those last minute team fights, of course, but also just have way more looks to show at teams. And I think that's going to do them wonders in a matchup against Nemesis. But Eggnoob, let's start with you. What do you think about this matchup?
Either way, I think, you know, both these teams are amazing, but I do think with the recency of Gaming Gladiators being so flexible, they're trying out all these new picks, they're doing weird, wacky stuff. I will have to give the edge to Gaming Gladiators.
Okay. That's two for GG. Dupesnax, how about you?
Yeah, I'm going for GG as well. I think at some point their fury threshold has to just eclipse the scale here and just blow off the charts. And I think they're just, they've been trying to get on the warpath, and they've just kind of keep taking a wrong turn right before they get on the expressway. You know what I'm saying? And they're just taking an L. But if they make it to this point in the bracket, this point in the tournament, I think we can successfully say that they find themselves back on the warpath and look out any team in their way. So I'm going to vote for GG as well.
Cool. Yeah, that makes sense to me. I think in no world is this game a 2-0 in either fashion. That's just going to be my like initial pick. I think this is definitely a best of three match, but I guess we'll see on tournament day. Sneaky Seal, Nemesis versus Gaming Gladiators. We are 3-1 vote, but do you have any more to say on this matchup?
Yeah, there's no easy answer to the triple carry Nemesis comp either. Ethan just goes top and gets six stacks, or and Archer still steals the Dreadnought, or...
And then the you're going up against Zugrug Wigglysteel though, which are just as iconic. So
it's like a battle of the giants. Like let them fight. Let's like
not like send in the blobs. We'll see who wins.
I'll give it to Game Gladiators. I'm excited for their return to form. Cool. Even if they, I think their losses are where they're still so insanely ahead for the first 8 minutes. Gotcha. Normally, that I don't think. They will be losing many best of series through until Worlds.
Makes sense. Well then, Sneaky Seal, why don't you bring up their next game then? Thoughts on Game and Gladiators versus Blossom for our Winners Finals. Potential maybe hypothetical Winners Finals.
Maybe I'm just a simp, because I think that's a Twitch banned word, but I think I'm a super fan of Game Gladiators. Yeah, sorry. Well,
I said it earlier. That's just fine.
Yeah, exactly. I know you said it earlier. That's why I brought it up. I think they're coming back strong. I think they'll adapt to whatever patch this is, or even anything small happens. I know Lutano has like a million top laners in his belt that he's been waiting to pull out until Lucario finally gets nerfed. We've got, 9 months of Lucario, and he's been playing it. But he's got the other ones ready if they nerf Lucario. And I think they have enough junglers at their disposal to not lose this matchup. The same way that Rin and Chaotic have been picking junglers to counter each other. Toon's champion pool or Pokemon pool is incredibly deep, and he'll play the right thing to counter.
In a matchup versus like Lutano versus Retsu, do you think Lutano still wins that matchup?
That's a tough one. I think that's a little too decided on what these junglers are fighting over.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I shouldn't be looking at it as a 1-on-1. It's definitely a 2-1
for sure. But yeah, when we're talking about the top five Lucarios, I think they can all beat each other depending on. But it depends on what jungler does when they come up. Honestly, it depends on your side nowadays.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it depends on your grass side or beach side for sure. Okay.
Your grass side or beach side, you get level 4 ganked a little bit earlier. I saw Rin doing level 4 ganks with just a blue buff today.
We're in EU now. What?
Yeah. One buff gank. So I think Game Gladiators can still win this, and that bot lane is still... one of the scariest bot lanes in the world. Zugrug is level 8 and way too many Dreadnoughts. That's what I should say about Nemesis, is that that man is almost level 8 every single time versus them, versus the Rowlet in the tree first Dread. So it's going to be... I'm going to give you Game of Gladiators the whole tournament, I think.
Gotcha. Okay. So Winners Finals, and we'll get to that in a second here. Yeah. Eggnoob, Blossom versus Game of Gladiators. Lots of good points brought up by Sneaky Seal. Anything to add on this matchup between the two?
No, I think I'm going to have to agree with Sneaky. I think Gaming Gladiators are probably going to take this, mostly because I think the jungle duo of Gaming Gladiators is better, like the jungle top duo. Lutano plus Toon, obviously Toon, amazing jungler.
Okay.
Rin Retsu is nothing to sleep on, but I definitely think Gaming Gladiators have the better top lane duo.
You guys know that Gaming Gladiators didn't make top four in March, right? Like, I'm not
We
misreading.
know.
Okay, interesting.
They lagged out. They got DDoSed.
They got to, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
Dupesnax, talk to me. Blossom versus Gaming Gladiators.
Yeah, it's tough, right? Because if we have Gaming Gladiators going like this, I've kind of in my mind already built this like Warpath narrative that they've like returned to form and this is their proving grounds. But you're I mean I haven't seen them prove that they've shaved up the last 2 minutes of their game. Sneaky Seal has said it 1,000 times. They've led violently for 8 minutes. Unfortunately, game is 10, and you can't just kick away the game the last 2 minutes. You just can't do that. And I've seen them do it a few times in big tournaments lately. So I'm gonna give the nod to Blossom here and let Zoinks make the tie-breaking decision. This is his show. But
on.
I mean, I want to see, just like Sneaky said, I want to see Gaming Gladiators back to form because I think everybody needs that target to ascend to, and I kind of think it's done this bizarre ripple effect through the evolution chain of Pokemon Unite teams to not just always have Gaming Gladiator on top. And it's weird to say, but I think it's kind of caused this bizarre riff everywhere, and I just think there's a natural focus that happens when Gaming Gladiators returns to form. So I think we can serve that up as something to be done, but they got to prove it. So I'm gonna go with Blossom.
All right. Well, I'm already going with Blossom, and on stream you may have seen that I've pulled up the flip a coin page on Google, because we are 2-2, and the almighty coin will decide who goes forward in our hypothetical bracket. We'll say Blossom is heads, GG is tails. Let's give it a flip, and heads it is. All right, so we are going to send Blossom through, but obviously this is like the biggest narrative that we have been talking about is going to be, is Blossom going to continue their run of dominance? Is Gaming Gladiators truly back in complete form to the point where they're stomping everyone? It's going to be the most exciting thing to learn about this tournament and honestly the scene as we move forward. But oh, oops, not GG. They go down there. Okay.
I'm looking at recent tournaments. I don't think these guys have played each other in like a
It's
hot minute.
been a
Blossom
minute. Oh man, it's gonna be such a good game, Sneaky Seal. Okay.
I don't think we can really tell. They have not played in a couple months. It looks like they didn't play at G4 or any of the World's tournaments so far. So it should be interesting.
All right, yeah, listen, Fez in chat, I tried to do what I could. They're the ones that picked the other team. They forced the coin. Anyway, Blossom in Grants in this situation. Guys, out of all of these teams, who do you think makes a loser's bracket run, finds themselves in Grants against Blossom?
I'm gonna go Black Hand just off the rip. I'll go Black Hand.
Okay.
That's who I picked last time. That's who I'm gonna pick this time. They're the most consistent finishing team that we've had in NA and excellent mark. So here we go.
All right,
Black
there we
Hand.
go. Agnew?
I'm gonna agree with him. I think Black Hand's gonna make it out of
Okay.
losers.
Definitely thought we were gonna get an IXGT throw there, but okay. Black Hand is up in there. Sneaky Seal, how about you?
Gonna give it to Black Hand as well. They
Yeah.
two out Gaming Gladiators with Bulby, and that was like March. They didn't even have Overlord.
No.
With Overlord on your team, it's a different story too. With coming down level 9 at first dread and acing and getting Drowned on the exact same play.
And this is not a like a shout against Bulby either. That guy was playing insane
He
on
played
tournament
really
day too.
amazing.
So, but Overlord, he is my pick pretty like far and away for best top laner we have in NA for sure. So I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. But that brings us to the grand finals, Blossom versus Black Hand. Black Hand will have to get a bracket reset to make this one happening. That's our hypothetical bracket where it ends. In this bracket, let's just make this really snappy, quick picks. Guys, who do you think wins this whole thing? And yeah, talk to me about that. Ignoob, Blossom versus Black Hand, grand final situation, repeat of an earlier match. Who takes it all?
I'm gonna have to say blackened.
Okay,
They made it out of
okay.
loser bracket. It has to be blackened.
Okay, Sneaky Seal.
I liked Blossom and Last Rent. I thought they were actually counterpicking. I think Black Hidden was reactively picking, right? So they were getting counterpicked first, and then in the last game, they Blossom just didn't counterpick Drowdon. I think maybe Black Hidden is a little too passive to have these jungler counterpicks, and I think Rin doesn't let that happen again, and Rin wins.
Okay.
A best of five grand finals.
Mm. Yeah, makes a lot of sense to me.
Is it best of five with a reset?
It is a best of five with a reset to best of five.
Oof, mama.
So yeah, fast bring that up. You have to lose six games to lose this entire series which is tough to do.
It's going to be, and I think they're literally going to play like the checkers and chess and on picks alone. I think both lanes, like bottom lanes, are going to play the exact same things, but.
Gotcha.
Nothing crazy. And Faz says, yeah, Blossom has not played Game of Gladiator since the first G4, which was 4 months ago, he said?
Okay. Nice.
Oh, it was Shiny League. It's been 4 months since they played in a tournament. Like, they played once this year, and it was at the beginning of the year.
Jeez. Well, I'm sure they've been screwing a bunch, too, so they know a little bit of each other's tendencies. But, yeah, officials, definitely a different story. If I'm picking out of this to you, if Blackhand makes it all the way through loser's bracket, I just don't see Blossom losing like that many games. They'll get it together. They'll win it. They'll shut down a bracket reset. So I'm quite confident in terms of Blossom winning this whole thing. However, I will say, if Blackhand makes it through loser's bracket, wins a best of five bracket reset, and wins the whole tournament, this is without a shadow of a doubt the best Pokemon Unite tournament of all time. Like, this hypothetical bracket we've made is the best thing in the world. Dupes next. How about you? Picks on this.
Yeah, I just don't see any of these high-quality teams really losing six in a row between two matches to lose in the grand finals, especially when you're talking about teams like Blossom or Blackhand or GG, you know, some of these later teams that we've been talking about. I think any of them are from the winner's bracket side, if they make it there, they don't lose six on the hop to punt away the grand finals. So sure. I'm going to go with Blossom because we have them coming from the winner's bracket. And I think that's just such a distinct advantage here with the format we have.
Makes sense. Okay, well, there we go. We got Blossom moving on all the way through. I'm going to bring up our faces quick. Let's just do a little bit of a rapid fire round now as we're just coming to the show. I know I've taken up a ton of your time already, but let's just close out the show with a few more questions. Who is your personal pick to win? Like I said, that was a hypothetical bracket we just made up, but I do think we saw some good teams. And then out of that team, if they do win, who's the MVP of your squad that wins the whole thing? Dupes next. Let's talk about you.
If we're talking about Blossom, who I'm assuming is who we agreed who my MVP there would be,
or just if you have another team that you think could win in a different bracket scenario,
sure,
you think would be it.
Just a couple random MVPs that would stick out to me if their team won. If Blackhand wins, I think it goes to Overlord. I think that dude's an absolute maniac, and the fact that he's like 11 years old is crazy.
He's 12, okay. Yeah.
Another person, I know we didn't talk about Foreign Famous a lot, but I do think that Fui is a random hard carry for that team. I just think they have a complete ability to take over the game. So if Foreign Famous makes a deep run, I think you kind of have to look to their performance. If you're talking about Gaming Gladiators, I know this is probably a little under the radar, but I think you got to go with Zugrug, who's probably the most violently aggressive defender player going.
Sure.
I think they're absolutely nasty. So just off the rip, those are just some three that I'll throw loft out there.
I like that. I'm gonna count your Dark Horse team to be Foreign Famous then. Sure. I think they qualify already if you're gonna bring them up in names like those in that kind of conversation. Sneaky sure. Seal, who's your personal tip pick to win this entire tournament? And then who would be the MVP on that roster?
I think the safest political answer is just going to say like Gaming Gladiators win still. I still think they're going to win. I think Toon is going to remind people why he's most people's picks for best. He's NA now. He's the best NA player in the world.
Yeah, best NA player and potentially best player in the world.
Hard to agree. Yeah, so the and then my Dark Horse pick, I think my top five teams are like Nemesis, Blackhand, Blossom, Gaiman, and Fulsen. But maybe Uzi team makes a run. Like Uzi could carry some of these teams. He could go pretty far. I don't know if they'd win the whole thing. Where did my bracket go? But yeah, I think also Nemesis. It depends on if people can counter this Nemesis comp still, because a lot of people still shown they can't.
Right.
They lose. they lose. It's a best of three. You got to learn to adapt quickly. I think some tournaments have been like best of one losers recently, and they knocked out Gaming Gladiators in a best of one. Yeah. And it's hard to play against this Greedent who takes everything. It's really annoying.
Yeah, it's a mental game for sure. Egg Noob, how about you? Or most likely to win this whole tournament, MVP of that squad, and then potentially a Dark Horse team as well.
You know, just because of consistency, I'd probably even say Black Hand.
Okay.
You know, obviously MVP is most likely Overlord.
Yeah.
You know, for sure. You know, one of the greatest Lucarios, at least in NA. Dark Horse team, I would have to say my team. Honestly.
Hell yeah. Yeah, so, baby.
And, you know,
go.
You know, like I brought up earlier, like we have been known to like beat Blossom up. You know, we take games off people. Like we are not to be slept on in general, but
absolutely.
MVP of the squad might even be my teammate Kratos.
Ew. Kratos Love is a guy. Nuts jungler. I like watching Kratos a lot.
Yeah.
You guys have been swapping. Have you been doing
swapping jungle and attacker? Doing, yeah,
yeah, it's pretty. Yeah. Blackhand started doing that too. I think a lot of people are looking at a little versatility because there's so many jungle picks right now. I don't expect my jungler to have 1,000 games on every single jungler right now. I mean, they could if they played it every second of the day.
That's a really interesting read, you guys, because we're seeing a lot of teams do it. GT is doing it. Blossom has done this a long time in the past. Blackhand does it. Teams in EU, like specifically Random and Yermans, I know both will change things like that up. So definitely is becoming a big skill diff there. But okay, I like those a lot. My most likely to win this entire tournament is going to be Blossom. I think they're going to get the back-to-back. I really, really do. MVP of this tournament, I think this is Retsu's tournament to pop off. I think Retsu is gonna like come for the throne of Lucario players. He's my personal pick for that one. Dark Horse team though is I think the most interesting one, especially because we have group play, we have bracket, all that kind of things. However, my Dark Horse team, I think, can really, really make a run. Man, I'm gonna look at my bracket one more time before I solidify this pick, but
Peter.
I'm going to do IXGT. I'm doing IXGT. Oh, no. I love you, Egg Noob. I got homies on your team, but I honestly think that this is like a really, really solid formation of a roster. I like Black a lot as a player. I really like your guys' bot lane. Egg Noob, we talked about Zugro being an aggressive tank. Egg Noob is up there with the run it down kind of tank play. So I really do think that you guys could make some sweet waves in that stuff. But guys, we have been going on for quite a while. This episode has been one for the record books for Overdump, but thank you so, so much for joining me. This was a ton of fun. Let's get just the plugs and all that stuff out of the way. This is your chance to sell out, shout out, whatever you want to do. Where can people find you? All of that good stuff. Egg Noob, let's kick it off with you.
Twitch.tv/EggNoob or on my Twitter, twitter.com/EggNoob, you know, with N00B, not
O's. Gamer text. Got it. Gamer all right. Text. Very gamer cool. Text. Sneaky Seal, how about you?
Yeah, I'm the Sneaky Seal with THE at the beginning on Twitter and Twitch. And yeah, that's where you can find me. The last thing I would say is, who do you guys think will get Alarm Clock diffed this tournament?
Oh, yes. One team will.
Why do you guys keep on bringing it up?
It's 100%. I was going to say, you guys did get top four in February, and you didn't.
And then we DQ'd.
So I think GT could go very far because they've done well in the tournament we saw them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yes, the question of Alarm Clock diff, though, is extremely true. And the worst part, Sneaky, is that there's 2 days now. There's double the chance for it to happen, which is just tragic.
There's already 100% chance to happen.
Well, yeah, that's true. And we doubled that. Doobsnax, how about you? Plug all your stuff, man.
Yeah, at Doobsnax, DOOBSNAX on pretty much everything, including Twitter. But if you're a fan of obviously Unite Mics, please follow our stuff and get ready to tune in here in less than an hour, or about an hour. I'm going to be on with Scolded to see why they're going to make it out of Group A and absolutely shatter everyone's dreams and beat the brakes off some of these top squads that we've been barking about for the last hour. So check that out. Hang around. Don't stray too far away from Unite Mics. That's all I've got. Pitch it back over to the man in charge here, Zoinks.
Sure, you can follow me pretty much on Twitter at ZoinksCast, and on Twitch and YouTube and everywhere is going to be Unite Mics. Guys, make sure you also, if you want to listen to this in podcast form, you're not just hanging out on Twitch, Overdunk is on every single podcast platform, so go rate and review, all that good stuff. Normally, we're just doing team previews and stuff like that right now, but we're definitely going to be pivoting to more of this kind of content discussion stuff for the podcast in the near future. But that being said, on Thursday, we're actually going to be doing an interview with Nemesis, a top two in the March finals, coming in hot for the AOS Cup. So on Thursday, tune in for an interview with the Nemesis squad. It's going to be a lot of fun. But guys, other than that, thank you so much for hanging out, and please stick around for Late Night Unite in just an hour. But biggest props. Thank you so much, Sneaky Seal and Egg Noob, for joining Dupe Snacks tonight for this. Your guys' insights are incredible, and you, Egg Noob, you were actually pretty biased, so well done. you know, not hiding that. But for these guys, for Zoinks, I have been Zoinks, they have been those guys, and we will see you all next time. Goodbye. Catch 'em all.